What's up, guys? Yes, that's the song, Mi Corazón, you just heard, written by myself and my good buddy, Aaron McLendon. And you can check out Mi Corazón wherever you stream your favorite music. Just search for Mi Corazón by Andrew Velasquez. And welcome back to another episode of Mindful Artist Podcast. Yes, you guys. Oh my God, I'm living the dream. It's happening. I'm so excited, you guys. I have a very, very special guest today. Just to give you a heads up, before I go dive deep into my guest, because I'm so excited, as you can tell, I'm like, I want to make sure that you subscribe, follow, go onto your favorite area where you download your podcast, search for a Mindful Artist Podcast, leave us a review, please. It'll help us a lot. So that way, other people like yourself will more likely to be able to see it in their algorithm and give us the stars, leave us the reviews, all the things. And lastly, make sure that at the end of this podcast, you hit the little share button so you can share it on your stories or to whoever it is that you love that you know will resonate with this. Because here we are. This is your one-stop shop place for creativity, entrepreneurship, spirituality. And we're here to give you all the tools and techniques that you need to be a better individual in whatever career industry that you're trying to aspire to do. So, all right. So, who do I have today, you guys? Here we have my beautiful, beautiful, beautiful friend, Hermana. I call her my fairy goth mother, and I'll explain that in a bit, but let's give you a little bio. We have Molly Moratti, you guys, also known as Auntie Tattoo, a beautiful 47-year-old, gorgeous, gorgeous Persian woman, animal lover, rescuer, vet tech since 2016, currently working with ASPCA. I was going to try to say that in one word. Born in Boston, Massachusetts, owns seven dogs, you guys, in a relationship with Benihana. His name is Benny, but I call him Benihana for 4 years. No kids, but the babies, hello, the dogs are the kids. And she loves all things horror and is the queen of Halloween. Welcome, welcome, Molly.
Thank you, baby. Thank
How are
you.
you? What'd you
I'm
think of
so
your
happy to
bio
be.
intro?
I loved it. I loved it. You just
Yes.
always have like a way with words.
You
Lift me
know,
up. I love it.
my mama gave me this voice, so I gotta like
That's
spread the
right.
love. That's why we're
That's
here.
right. Yes.
Listen, I'm so grateful for everything that you have done for our babies, for just the community of, vegans, veterinarians, animal lovers. Like, if I could think of a person in the Wikipedia encyclopedia, it would be your face. You know what I mean? Like you embody all of that. This is why I wanted to have you on Mindful Artist Podcast, because I feel that embodies all
Thank
the things
you.
that I represent and what I want to start as far as like a community. So I'm gonna dive a little deep into your story and
Yes.
just want to share with everyone. And you can be you whatever you want to share. This is your safe space as well. So whatever you're comfortable with sharing. I'm an
You
open
got
book,
it.
so I share it
Yes,
all. You know what I
same,
mean? I literally wrote a
same.
book about my life. But yeah, tell us about your journey. Like, how did all the animal loving, beauty, horror, Halloween, like all the things, like how did that, where did you come from? Were you born from a bat or an octopus?
I wish I was. I feel like I was. Well, ever since
I
I was a
feel it too.
kid, yeah. Ever since I was a kid, I always loved animals. I've always had a fondness, a soft spot for them. My first sensitivity with animals. I'm Persian, and in our culture, when you buy like a new home or you get married or something big happens, it's tradition to bless the doors of like the new home or the doors of the wedding church or whatever you're getting married, by sacrificing a baby goat or a baby lamb. And my first, my mom and my biological dad's first home was in Riverside when I was a little kid. And my entire family had brought a little baby lamb. And I know it's like, oh, Silence of the Lambs. That's basically what it was for me. I was like Clarice, like I was traumatized, and they had slit the lamb's throat in front of me. And you have to like walk over the blood. You have to like step in the blood and walk over it to be blessed. So that no bad spirits and no, like they call them like the evil eyes, they don't like come with you into the home. and I couldn't walk over it. So my mom had to lift me up and carry me and brought me over it. And yeah. So since then, I've always had this sensitivity towards animals, and I've just always been an animal lover.
How old were
and
you?
And as I got, I think I was 5 or 6.
Yeah.
5 or 6 years old. Very, very young. And
so
it's
traumatic.
always stayed with me.
So traumatic for such a young age. I mean, ages 1 through 10 pretty much shape your adulthood. So I can imagine how traumatic that was. I'm sorry you witnessed that, but sorry, continue.
Yes. And then we would always kind of move around a lot, you know, all over the place. Lived in London, lived back east.
You lived in London?
I what? Did.
For I didn't like, know that.
I know. So what my the? Biological dad always had this dream of opening a chain of restaurants. He wanted like their steakhouses. So my, you don't even know this part either. So my birth name was actually Malva and not Molly.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, so he called him Malva Steakhouse. He named it after my Malva was his favorite writer was I'm gonna have to think of his name, but he wrote that book.
Here, I can Google it right now. What is it called?
Yeah,
go ahead.
It was called Gorky Park or something, or Gorky's.
An American mystery thriller based on the book of the same name by Martin Crewe Smith.
I believe that's it. Yeah, there was like a movie like way back in the day, and one of the characters, and also Malva is a name of a Greek flower that sits up on this hill in Greece, and every color of its petal was a different color. And it was the most unique flower in all of Greece. And so I got named after that.
That's beautiful.
That's my birth name. And then it was always hard for kids to pronounce it in school. And
Malva.
I'm getting made. Yeah, I would get made fun of a lot. So like Malva and like Volva and like, you know, kids are assholes. So.
They really are.
They really are.
That's
and
beautiful.
So,
I have flowers in our logo for the podcast. Look at that.
See,
it's on
there
a
I
crown.
Am.
Yes, you are.
Really so,
quick,
go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you. It just triggered a memory that I had and a story similar to yours, but can I share it really quick?
Please.
It's so Texas, Dallas, 8 years old, and this is in the 80s, Mexican, and it's kind of similar, but we went to spend Christmas at this family's home, my tías and tíos. It was me and my mom and one brother, because I only had one brother at the time. And they had a little like rancho. It was like Texas, Dallas, you know, so which is a farm basically.
Yeah.
And there was goats and chickens, and I would play with them, and I would go outside and like, you know, give them names. And so I'd Billy the goat, obviously. That's like, and I love goats because I'm a Capricorn, and Capricorn's the goat is the animal for that.
Yeah.
So I'm playing with Billy, and then it's Christmas Eve. And then I go to look for Billy to give him some like snacks, and he's not there. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to go to the kitchen, get a snack for myself, right? I open the fridge, and there's Billy's head in the fridge, the goat. So
no.
I didn't know this, but they were doing a tradition, birria, which is a baby goat, like the tender meat for the what we're going to eat for Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And so same thing after that, I'm like, I do not want to eat animals like this. Like, I mean, you've been vegan longer than I have. I'm more vegetarian, but still, like, it was, I can relate to it, because as a child to be that traumatic and see, you know, like, these are your friends, these are your babies, when you like have no friends and you're a child, like, so yeah, I'm sorry that happened to you, but
I'm
grateful
sorry
that
happened to you.
I know. Thank
Oh
you.
My God.
I'm also grateful that it kind of like instilled something larger that you are part of. So continue your story. Sorry, go ahead.
Thank you. So where was I? So yeah, so as a kid, I asked my mom to like call me something else in school. So she had the teachers change my name to Molly instead. So the kids wouldn't make fun of me and the teachers could pronounce it. Cause it was like an issue every day. And I just got like tired. I'm a very sensitive soul. So I would always come home crying. And plus I was also very different because my biological dad didn't let me, show any skin when I was growing up. And I always went to a private school. So in like the whole like Britney Spears, like uniforms, I had to wear like leggings underneath or pants. And I always had to have long sleeve, dead of summer, super hot. So I was never allowed to show skin as a little girl. So I already got made fun of that. He wouldn't let me shave my legs as I got older. So everything was super, no makeup, no hairspray, no perfume. You had to be very clean. So I was like, oh man, last thing I need is on top of that is like people to make fun of my name. So
right.
So I've been Molly ever since.
And Molly works. And did you like actually change it legally or is it?
I had to change legally when I was 18. That's perfect.
And it's M-O-L-L-I-E.
Yes.
I love that. Yes. Love that story. And that makes so much sense now onto it kind of shaped you and who you are today. And everything that you said, just there's a couple takeaways for me in particular. You were sheltered. It was very conservative. There were rules and regulations and cookie cutter. You had to be in this like box. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So no wonder. I'm curious to know when this happened and when it shifted, because I can relate to this too in my book, which is right here. Okay. And Molly's actually in the book. You can't probably, there she is. La Dama. So,
yay!
And for me, the story that you're talking about is chapter 3, Diablito. And that was the moment where, you know, I'm kind of like rebelling. So my point is that I relate to your story, how, you know, traditional and like conservative, and I was raised Catholic and strict and had to be like, you know, perfect kid. And so then I'm curious to know when that, because I rebelled. I went through my Diablito stage, my bad adolescence.
Yep.
And now look at you, fully covered. You have more tattoos than I do. Like, and you're just so free and free-spirited in so many ways, and infectious and just everything. So tell us when that transition happened.
It happened probably like about seventh or eighth grade in school. Okay. As I started to get more towards closer to high school, and I would see other girls, like older girls, like with their hair done and their makeup. And I went to Palmdale High School. So, and I was, it was like, you know, in the 80s and 90s. And so we had a lot of cholitas and they had like the big hair sprayed out to here with like the big hoops and the Raider sweatshirts and the eyeliners out to here. And I just saw them older and they were so pretty to me. So, and I wanted to have makeup and do my hair. And so I would literally get on the bus in the 30 minutes it took to get to school in the morning. I would change my clothes, do my makeup. I would spray my hair and then manage to get all of that off on the bus on the way home before I got into my dad's house. Cause he wasn't like working. He was, you know, alcoholic. He was always home, got fired from job to job. So my mom would work two jobs to support us.
Love your mom.
And so that's too. Isn't she the best? Love I know. Her. Amazing. I amazing. I know she loves you and misses you too. Oh,
give her a big hug.
Yes.
That again, why I love you even more now. You love cholas. I love cholas as well. Like they were a huge inspiration on like aesthetic makeup. I mean, even when Stefani was obsessed with it and transitioned that into her, you know, no doubt kind of like vibe too. Yep. So that's so cool. Like, and so, okay, you went, so you saw the cholas, you would put on the hair, the makeup, you would remove it. So when did you feel liberated? When was it like, I am free to be Molly the way I want to be? Because you are free. You do live your most true, authentic self. I love how just you're unfiltered. You know what I mean? Like you're unfiltered. Yeah. You're just straight from the heart. Authentic Molly. So when do you feel like that happened?
When my mom divorced my dad.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to really be 100%. And neither was my mom. My mom was very like, very limited. You know, my biological dad was 26 when he married my mom, and she was 15, 16, which was very normal for Iran. Absolutely. To, you know, get married that way. So both of us sort of broke out of that shell. She went crazy and was like dating like dudes and going on vacation. She was like,
Mary,
I'm out. Like, like Mary was gone. She was gone.
Yes, queen.
And then I was just set free. Just would wear skirts. And I was like, oh my God, shaving my legs. I'm like, what is this? Like, I was really super free and started dating and was going out. And then I got a little bad. And then I started hanging out with little taggers and gangsters. And so we would sneak out at night, steal we would joyride our parents' cars and stuff like that, and go tagging and stuff like that. And
this is Palmdale still,
this
right?
This is in Palmdale. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I love it. So cool. Okay. A couple takeaways. I feel, and I've talked about this in past episodes, where human has to hit rock bottom. Evolution is not going to come from just nowhere. Like, you are going to have to go through the valleys and lows to really experience life's traumas. And for me, I would say that trauma can trigger into transformation, which can also transform into power. So really being grateful for that and having gratitude for difficult moments, I think, is what really gets you ready to be the next level and to be the Molly that you were supposed to be. So how old were you when you got your first tattoo?
I was 18 years old. The minute I turned 18, I got my first one.
You were actually legal. Yeah.
I was actually legal, and it was where every girl gets it, the tramp stamp on the back of the, you know, right above the ass. Yep. That was my first one.
You still have that one?
I still have that one.
I love it. And yeah, you're pretty much fully covered too. Like sleeves, legs, chest, back. I feel like there's no more real estate.
There's like a few, like my legs are probably about 20% done. So I'm still working on my legs, but the legs are going to be fully covered too. Yep.
Would you say the legs are more painful or the upper body is more painful? Because I have an opinion.
So for me, as I'm older now, I seem to not have the same tolerance as I did when I was younger. I could I could lay there like whatever. Now,
like five, even with 6 hours.
Yeah. Now, even with numbing cream, I'm like, I feel like I want to tap out now.
Okay,
like,
I haven't used the numbing cream, so it actually works.
It actually works. So Benny is actually, we're in the middle, and then after this, we're going to finish it. But my hysterectomy scars, Benny is doing some.
Because he's been practicing. Yeah.
Yeah. So these little bats. He's putting them on my.
Oh my God,
so we're
beautiful.
Like in the middle of doing it right now.
We're taking a tattoo break right now for the pod. I love it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Betty. I'm willing to be a model, a model as well for the tattoos when I'm back in the Cali area.
For me,
the most painful one was the one that I got when I was in Los Angeles when I just saw you, which was so fun, by the way. Right here, my abdominal, the rib cage.
Yeah.
Oof, that I couldn't even finish the white highlights because I was in that much like agony pain. I think the older we get, the less our tolerance is and the more that we're sensitive to. You know what it is? It's like, I don't mind the first initial like run through. I'm okay with that. Mentally, I kind of like meditate as well. It's the rubbing, it's the revisiting and the going back to the why? You just,
why? Don't take a break. You don't need to pee. No. You don't need to smoke. Can you just, you don't need to go to the bathroom.
Can we talk about that too? Like, why does every tattoo artist, no shade, but they're like rock star lifestyle. They need a break. They need a smoke break. They want to drink. I mean, it comes with the territory, right? Like, I can't. They are artists. Yeah. There is an art form to it. So I just need to be grateful for the ink. I couldn't finish the highlights. It was just like, I'm done. I'm good. Just leave it. I'm fine.
It's rough. Yeah.
It is. Okay. So now let's fast forward. So you're living your best life. You're free, you're authentic, you're independent, which you are all those things. You've had multiple careers in different industries, but always your passion were the animals, the baby.
Was animals. Yeah. Yeah.
So how did that come about? When did your career start in that field?
So the minute I graduated high school, I was either working in a doctor's office or a hospital, you know, for like 20 plus years, at least 20 to 25 years. I was in the first half
always
of my life
caretaker.
Was always a caretaker, but that was sort of forced on me by my family because everyone, you know, it's like the dream, like, you know, Persians, you got to be a doctor, a dentist or a nurse and I was never interested in human medicine. So they kind of like, I got shoved into it. My mom worked at West Hills Hospital, so she got me a job there. Yeah. And you get stuck in a routine. You get stuck there. And I worked there for 18 years, and I just stayed in the emergency room. But just because you get raised, it's like habit, it's familiar. And I've made amazing friends out of it, but it just wasn't ever what I wanted to do.
Sure.
And then the hospital went through changes, went through major corporate changes, and they were like slowly firing everybody like left and right. They were like getting rid of it, downsizing, things like that. And one of the ER doctors, I was sitting there and I told my mom, I'm like, I just don't want to do this anymore. This is just not what I want to do. And she's like, well, what is your passion? What have you always loved? Like, you, now is your time. If you're going to start all over, you might as well do something that you love. And I was like, I love animals. So signed up for Penn Foster. I was like, I'm going to go and be a veterinary technician. So I was reading the books at work, and I work night shift, graveyard shift. One of the ER doctors walked by and he was like, oh, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm going to go back to school and I'm eventually going to, you know, go into veterinary technician. He was like, my best friend runs a vet hospital. He's looking for new staff. I can put in a good word for you. Put in the good word for me, and
right time and right place.
Right time, right place. From 2016 until now, I've been in the vet med field.
Wow. Bravo. Yeah. Bravo.
Bravo.
And that's not even how we met either. We met through our mutual Australian friend.
Australian.
Love Tashi. Yeah. I love her.
Yes.
Yeah. She was my student at Cinema Makeup School. She's a talented avant-garde makeup artist. And
yes,
saw something special in her, which is why I think I immediately gravitated towards you, because she connected us. I don't even know how or why exactly, but it just kind of happened. And then that was it. I met you and I'm like, you are it. That's it. We're besties. Yep. You're going to be my model. You're going to be my muse. And every time I've rebranded or had an idea to, you know, evolve as a brand, as an artist, you've been there. I appreciate that so much. You don't even know.
Pleasure.
Like,
I love
been
you.
Part of all the growth. You were with my first rebranding when I went from LA Makeup Andrew to Andrew Velasquez, like full salon. Mm-hmm. And then the most recent rebranding, which my book, Amor es Arte, Arte es Amor, and You're La Dama.
Yes.
Like, I'm so lucky. I'm so grateful and so lucky to have these beautiful humans that just, you know what it is, though? My mom told me this at a young age. Like, mijo, you have a light. You have a star. Like, it's take care of it. You know what I mean? And it's going to attract the people that that are deserving of it. But also, it's going to attract dark stuff, which
absolutely.
I'm very aware of that at such a young age. But I feel as I'm, you know, trusting the process, letting things go, that it's the intuition is becoming stronger, and it's almost kind of like filtering out, and that's okay. My point is that it's filtering out maybe energies that were not doing me of service anymore, and now it's bringing me closer to energies that are. And I'm a big believer of that. So let's talk about spirituality. I know that you had a different upbringing, like similar to myself, like very strict, but where are you at as in spirituality today and whatever that means for you?
So I don't necessarily believe in organized religion. I don't believe in a religion telling you that this is a sin, that is a sin.
Correct.
Who you love is a sin, what your orientation, like what you can and cannot do, like tattoos, premarital sex. gay. Right. Like, I just like all those things. I don't like someone telling me that the way that I'm living is wrong, because it's the way that I live, and you know, no one to judge, only one person can judge. So my spirituality is like, God is within me and not necessarily like in a church or according to what Christianity or Catholicism or, you know, I was raised Muslim, and that's like very, in a very oppressive religion, which is weird because in the Quran, it doesn't say that women are supposed to be covered from head to toe and only with their eyes. The Quran only says a woman must dress modestly. The men, the government turned it into, this is only like your eyes and you have to be like covered from head to toe. Women are not supposed to speak. And it just, it seems like too many hands are in the pot with, they turn the Bible or the Quran or whatever into what they want it to be and not really what it says. So I like to just believe in what I believe in here versus what you're telling me. Yeah.
Love that. You said it 100% very well. And I, it resonates with me too, in a sense. This is what I say. Like, I am a forever student of the University of Mother Nature, and she is my religion. And I respect my energy that I receive and that I exude. Therefore, I'm going to continue to respect my animals, respect my nature, my plants. And I feel with that creates more of like a balanced environment and area. Yeah, no, you said it perfectly. I love that. Okay, so we did, I had you do a little exercise prior to this call. And I'm going to share with the audience what this exercise is. And I did, I'm never going to have someone do an exercise that I haven't personally done myself. Of course, I did this too. But so let me explain to the listeners and the viewers, if you're watching on YouTube, this exercise is for you to physically write down your five goals for the next 5 years. You're going to break that down by year one, year two, year three, four, and five. I want you to physically write it down with your hands, so you are physically seeing it with your eyes. After you have seen them, I want you to verbally speak it out into the universe, because now that we're talking about Mother Nature, this is full circle, goes hand in hand. And my purpose of you doing this is for, number one, for you to visualize, manifest all those goals, for you to actually sit down and filter out what it is that's going to bring you happiness and joys, because this is our only life to do that, you guys. You have to take opportunities for that. Number two, if you have a partner like we do, you are going to have your partner do the same thing, write their five goals, year one, two, three, four, five, and then. And there's no wrong or right way to do this. Like, this is a wonderful exercise of me encouraging you to get you in the habit of manifestation. And why? Because it's sensory driven. And as humans, we're all sensory driven as well. So the fact that you're feeling it with your hands, writing it down on a piece of paper, visually seeing it with your eyes, verbally speaking it out into the universe, you're resetting all that sensory mode. And your dreams will come true. I promise you, I've done this before, this exercise in the past, and you can create a mood board or a vision board. That's another way of creating the strategy. Our last podcast guest was sharing her mood board that she created, and it came true. So yeah, this is your time, you guys. This is your time to set those goals. And so what I did is I had Molly do this, and she sent me her goals, and you wrote it down as well, I imagine.
I did.
Good, good job. And then Benny went home and did the same and gave me his goals. And at that point, this is a great, healthy dialogue. You know, we don't even have to share your goals. You can if you want to. But my point is, like, having the conversation with each other is the healthiest way as a couple, as partners, to, all right, so your goals are a little bit different from mine. All good. Let's help one another out, because you're individual. You as a person need to love and be happy with who you are when you're looking into that mirror. Therefore, your partner is also going to be just as happy and receiving of the love that you're providing for them. And I did this with my husband as well. And our goals were kind of similar. It wasn't like identical, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just a fun exercise for you to get in the habit and good practice of manifestation. So yeah. How did you feel your exercise went?
Oh, it was super easy for me because it's something that I already had in my head that that's what I wanted to do.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I'm, so you know that I'm Virgo, so I'm super meticulous.
You are?
Very what? Like, I know what. So it's like when I start to set it, it's, and actually goal two is almost done now with before even goal one, which is awesome.
Bravo. Congratulations. I love yes, that. Yes,
me and Benny were just talking about that today. I was looking at these reels and one of my friends sent me this reel of this company that they make skull large toilets and urinals and like sinks, and I'm going to send it to you. It's yes. Incredible. So Benny, I'm like, I feel like I need to get one of these toilets. And Benny goes, did you pay off your credit cards? I go, actually, I've been working my ass off so much lately that my credit cards are almost paid off. I only left a Yay. Couple open with like $500.
Because it's like a game. Like, you kind of have to.
You gotta to do that. Yeah.
Totally.
So I'm like, I'm almost paid off with everything. So, and he was like, then buy your toilet, buy your skull toilet.
Yes. You earned it, baby.
So goal two is almost done.
I'm so proud of you. And even that credit is there to help us. It is there to benefit and to help build more return on investment if you're smart with it. You can't live your life off of credit, but you can use it to benefit your businesses and
absolutely.
And so on.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, no, your goals were different and cute and I love it. It's so good. And
yes,
now
I'm
you
excited
guys
can... about goal one. Goal one's, I'm so excited about that one.
Oh, hell yeah. That goal's amazing.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, viewers, listeners, go home, try this exercise with yourself, write down your five goals, write it, speak it, visualize it, partner do it as well, come together, have a healthy dialogue, talk about it, and just go from there. How can we support each other to achieve those goals? You know what I mean? And be a team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, supporting one another. All right. So let's talk about back to a little bit of the balance. So what would you say do you have any practices or routines that you place to nurture your creativity, spirituality, while also kind of like running a business as far as like when you help your babies, the babies?
Let's see. Honestly, I don't really have like one particular practice that I do, but lately I have been sometimes just sitting outside by myself. And I've been really working on like my backyard meditation. And like my meditation. Yeah. I've been kind of doing a lot of quiet time with myself in the morning. I'll leave my phone inside. Yeah. And sometimes even like Benny will like text me in the morning, like when he wakes up and it takes me a while to answer on my days off, I'll just go and sit outside. Or if I'm on my long drive to and from work, if I talk to him on the way or like on the way back, I'll be like, I'm just going to veg out for a little bit and I'm going to call you in a little bit. And it's sort of my time to just my reset time to start thinking about everything, try and let go of like stressors that I have on the inside and try and find some peace with it. I'm a very emotional person, so I tend to sit on everything a lot. And sadly, a couple months ago, I suffered a mini stroke because of all my stressors and how emotional I am. So I'm trying to reset my body and relearn myself to not be that way and keep everything inside. So sometimes if I have like a sad day or if, you know, suffered a loss of an animal or rough day or whatever's going on in my life, I just need that downtime to sort of meditate and reset myself and sort of just veg out, as I call it.
I love that. 100%. It's almost having to love yourself selfishly first and give yourself that alone time to breathe and vent and purge and let it out, because the human body stores trauma, right? We all know that. And it will come out in stressful moments that can feel like an attack. And I'm so sorry that you had the stroke or mini stroke, that the body was literally telling you like, yo, you need a break. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Take a vacation. So I'm so happy that you just came back from Hawaii.
Yes. And Hawaii.
You swam with your octopus.
Finally.
How was that?
That was a dream come true. Dream come true. We actually, Benny and I had a dive booked for that Monday when we first got there. And the guy ghosted us. He didn't respond to our messages, our texts, nothing. He completely ghosted us. I was so disappointed. We tried doing some like snorkeling and some things on our own. And then we're like, well, you know, now it's coming towards the end of the trip. It's just not going to happen. I just let it go. Yeah. And we got this like went on this app to see like all these excursions, and I saw this like submarine scooter thing, and I'm like, oh, this looks incredible, let's just do this. And I click on the website, the first photo that pops up is a girl underneath, and there's an octopus stuck to her like dome on the submarine. And I was like,
oh my god,
it's a sign. So we booked it. We went the very next day. It was like probably one of the nicest days. The weather was like 86. The water was super calm.
So cool.
And I told the captain of the boat and all the divers that was like my dream. And they all
this
dove
is what
down
I'm talking
there.
About.
Four of them went and like they got me my octopus. They're all, here you go, here you go, here you go. And you get an octopus, and you get an octopus, and you get an octopus.
But yeah. How long was the experience, and what did you feel any energy from the octopus?
Like, I did share with us. The minute the first one touched my skin, my legs were a little white that day, and because I was freezing, and he turned white and just sort of blended in with my thigh. And it's the feeling, and it was just stuck to your skin, and they're so strong. They're so magnificent.
My heart's like racing right now.
Yeah. And I just, with that first touch, and it was just sort of just wrapping its tentacles like all around me, and it was just stuck to my skin, and I couldn't even tell you if it really felt slimy to me or anything. It just felt perfect. I just felt so like connected with it. And my heart was just so happy. It was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. And then the second one came on me, and one was on one thigh, one was another thigh, and the third one was in my arms. And I was like holding it like a baby, but I don't know how to hold an octopus. I've never held an octopus before.
Right.
And it just was like on my chest. And I was like, I could just live here right now. I was just in that moment and didn't want to like,
chills. That's,
it
I'm
was
so happy.
Amazing.
For you.
Amazing.
That's so beautiful.
They're magnificent creatures. Magnificent.
What is your obsession with them? Why are they so intriguing to you?
It actually started, I watched this documentary a year or two ago called My Octopus Teacher on Netflix. And it's about this guy who was going through this very rough time in his life. He was very depressed. He was a scuba diver, and he lived in South Africa. And he was going through this depression. He decided to just go to the sea every single day and was diving just to sort of like get back to himself. And
Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm. And he came across this mountain of seashells underneath the water. And he's like, he had never seen anything like that. And the shells started dropping, and it was an octopus camouflaged as seashells. It was one of the most beautiful thing, and it was hiding in the shells as if it was his home. And he had morphed her body into what a shell would look like. And he came back every day and then befriended this octopus. And it was one of the most beautiful stories. It ended very sadly, but it was quite breathtaking. And I watched this creature live her life and lose her life and everything, and what she could do, what she could accomplish, and how amazing and how misunderstood this creature has been throughout like lifetime. And so sometimes like you see an animal and you it looks a certain way. They refer to octopuses like the Kraken. It used to be the bad thing, and like in Little Mermaid, and it was the bad thing, and like Popeye, and it was always like and considered an evil thing, an octopus. And it's actually it's one of the smartest creatures. It can blend itself into any situation, and so misunderstood. Wow. And it's almost like the Frankenstein of the sea. Like it's just this beautiful monster that just, it wants to be loved, and it's hunted and misunderstood. And I sort of fell in love with that idea, because sometimes I feel that way, you know, that I just want to be loved. I'm very sensitive. I just want that love. And sometimes it's misunderstood. So that's
so connected. Beautiful. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. I have to see this now. I've never seen that.
It's what incredible. Is it called again? My Octopus Teacher.
My Octopus Teacher. Yeah.
On Netflix. Check it out. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. You talked about Frankenstein and Beautiful Monster. Yes. So that's our next topic. Your love for horror. When did that happen, and why, and how, and all the things?
since birth, probably. What? When I was a kid, I was always fascinated with scary movies, monsters, things like that. And I would beg my mom to let me watch. The first movie that I wanted to see was Nightmare on Elm Street. Mom, please let me watch it. I want to watch it. And my mom was like, okay, we'll watch it. But if you have any nightmares, you're never going to see a horror movie until you're older. And she said, I watched it with a complete smile on my face, didn't flinch, never had a nightmare. And she just let me just watch every scary movie. And that was our thing. And that was like in the 80s. So that was like during the time of like Tales from the Crypt, Creepshow. Mm-hmm. Those shows would come on the weekends. And me and my mom would watch those shows together, and all these scary movies. And that was always our thing to do when I was growing up. And it just stayed with me. I would wear my Halloween costume from October until December. There's a picture of me in my Wonder Woman outfit sitting on a rocking horse in front of a Christmas tree. Like I wouldn't want to take my costumes off. I just lived in it. No big deal.
That's just whatever. You. I love that. That's so cool. Yeah. No, I mean, and your birthday is
August 24th.
So it's not even near October, but you start celebrating it like around your birthday anyway. So it's like Halloween starts. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So cool. And a lot of your ink work and your art, your ink is based in homage to a lot of those films. And what's your favorite scary movie of all time?
Favorite scary movie of all time. I mean,
because Freddy Krueger scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. I can't believe you were like smiling.
I know. I always say it's Nightmare on Elm Street, only just because it was the first movie that I ever watched as a kid. And that was like, it's Freddy Krueger, and the scene with Tina getting cut up and going up the walls. And that was when I first got exposed to Johnny Depp. And I'm like, oh my God. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. it was just with Nancy and the school and the boiler room. And it was just such an iconic
classic
horror movie for me, classic. And it was very, because it's very different, you know, with other movies, like with Michael or Jason, they're alive, but Freddy is like in your dreams. So it's like, you just can't ever go to sleep. You're just gonna go to sleep when you just die. Super scary.
Yeah,
that, and you can come out of your dreams. Yeah, so it's just like, you're fucked no matter what. Oops. You're screwed no matter what.
I mean, no, you can cuss. This is free. Yeah. No, I mean, it's, yeah, no, the toilet scene, the bed scene, like all those. For me, it was Exorcist. Exorcist. My dad saw that in Mexico in like the 70s when it first came out. Yeah. And he said that people were running out, like, you know, of the movie theater because they were so terrified.
My mom threw up. She said she threw up. She couldn't finish it when she watched the
Exorcist. And then when they remade it, remember they remade it a few years ago, and
the
spider walking thing. That
was a deleted scene from the original. They never put that in there. They said it was too traumatic to keep in the original release. And then they added it in there when they remastered it. And I saw that and I was like, that is the coolest thing. Actually, one of the vet techs that I work with can do that. She walks backwards.
What the heck?
Yeah, she like goes on the ground. Her name is Ellie. And I'm like, oh, I love you so much right now. You're so weird. Animals?
Horror? Yeah. That's hilarious. Okay. Yeah. And then also like you're within your journey as Molly Moradi and Auntie Tattoo and being a model and being an animal lover. It's like you have some really cool and crazy stories. Like you were just in Kat Von D's music video and Benny, who was in it, y'all. How was that experience? Yes.
Incredible, incredible. Kat Von D, first, she's just such a wonderful human and she's just come such a long way. I commend her journey. So I met Kat Von D. I took care of some of her bandmates' cats, and then they referred me to her to work on her ducks. She had a little duck, Enrique Iglesias Jr., that I know, I love it, that was going to be euthanized because he wasn't able to swim. Mm-hmm. His webbing would not come out on his feet. So I worked on her ducks for about 2 months, saved the duck's life. And Enrique Iglesias Jr. had a sister that she had not named. So she ended up naming the black duck Molly in honor of me as saving her duck's life. Yeah. So
that's so cool.
So after
Kat Von D named her duck after Molly Moradi. That's amazing. You're a celebrity.
It's amazing. Amazing. Yeah. And funny, she told me at the music video shoot that the ducks are now living with their caretaker because she had to sell her house here and she lives in Indiana now. But they live on a farm with the owner, and the owner's name is Molly of the duck farm. And I'm like,
all meant to be connected.
All meant to be. All meant to be.
And she's a fellow Latina as well. Does she speak Spanish?
She does fluently. Okay, yep.
Cool.
Yep.
That's so cool.
Yeah, she does.
And then any other cool celebrities and experiences that you want to share with the audience that you've had? I don't know if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I can. Absolutely. So I worked with Rob Zombie for a little while. I did a couple video shoots with John Five, which was his former guitarist. He's not with them anymore. He's with Motley Crue now. I was also in an Avenged Sevenfold video for Goddamn, which is the bat that's on my chest. Incredible. Over here. I've met a ton over the years. The vet that I used to work for was sort of celebrity to the stars. So I've sort of maintained a lot of friendships with a lot of people and model for certain clothing companies. And so over the years, you kind of just rock them up and everyone's living been living the dream. Amazing. Amazing. I had a little Yorkie Terrier that, his name was Herman Munster, that I actually got from George Lopez. He was George Lopez actually has, a lot of people don't know that he has a dog rescue foundation.
George Lopez, the comedian?
George Lopez, the comedian, yes.
The actor?
Yes.
No, I love him.
George Lopez. Yeah.
My mom was obsessed with him.
Yeah. Yes. I love when he does that.
Wait, we just saw over the weekend, we just saw the Beetle movie that he's in. Good.
Yeah. I saw it on HBO Max. Yeah.
Oh my God. I was so happy. And I know my mom was with me watching because she used to love watching George Lopez. Why are you crying?
I know. Why are you crying? Yeah. Yeah, he's actually a huge animal lover. He's got a bazillion chihuahuas in his house. And I used to go to his house and take care of the dogs and stuff like that. And
I'm dead. I'm gagged right now.
He's amazing. A very, very nice. And I still talk to his assistants and everyone's wonderful, really good guy, very good guy. So cool. I used to have one of his dogs. The dog was very sick, so I was basically hospice mama for the baby until he had his last days with me.
So this is what I'm talking about, you guys. You can't make this up. This
can't
is
make
why
it up.
Mindful Artist Podcast Community. This is why I wanted to create this safe space for individuals like you, that you literally took what brings you joy, which is animals, made it your career, and now you're working with celebrities that also love animals and also are passionate about, their well-beings. And it's, you can do whatever you want in this world. What brings you joy? What makes you happy, you guys? Seek out for it, manifest it, write it down. That exercise was not just to make you do homework. It's for real.
It's real.
Yes. Yeah. And you're proof of it. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, my love. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. This is why I call you furry goth mother, because the furries for the babies, the goth for the Halloween, and the mother because you are the mother to all the pet lovers and babies. And all right. And what? Go ahead.
And the ones that I don't even seek out, they seem to seek me out at my home, and I'm saving like a bird or a lizard or just, you know, it's just they all just come to my house. I'm like the Snow White of the desert. Literally, yeah.
They know. Yep. Except you're the dark white. But yeah.
Yes.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Okay. I love this so much. This is so fun. All right. So you've shared a little bit about your routines and how you are able to keep balance with that. And maybe can you share any tips or advice for aspiring entrepreneurs looking to incorporate more creativity while kind of balancing their spirituality as well?
Yes. The best thing that's worked for me is I've just learned when you're trying to take on too much, you got to just take things one day at a time. Just stop and breathe. I've been guilty of it myself. I've been trying to do too much. I work and live 2 hours away. So I commute 2 hours to work, 2 hours home. I wake up at 3 a.m. to leave my house at 4. I try to spend time with my 7 dogs, with my mom, with Benny, who also lives 2 hours away from me, and then go to work in Long Beach, spend my days there. And then on top of that, try and squeeze in all my friends and spend time with them. And then also try and do modeling shoots or, you know, being spray painted my body for Andrew or squeeze in. And then I'm like, oh man, I need to do my roots, my hair. I got to get a pedicure. So hard to like maintain everything. And sometimes even I like have breakdowns where I'm like, I can't, I feel so overwhelmed. I feel so torn to try and spend time with everybody. But luckily, the best thing that I can say is just make sure you surround yourself with people who are constantly giving you that positivity, backing you up, having a partner that understands that about you. And that's so huge for me because I'm so grateful for Benny because I've never,
I'm grateful for Benny too.
Honestly, like I've had really bad relationships in my life where they never let me sort of just be me. And to have somebody who has supported me and who's literally, honestly, saved my life twice. Once when I was choking on a French fry, and then the second time he saved me when I was having my stroke. He got me to the hospital so fast. It's really hard to find somebody that lets you just, if you need time with your girls, will stop his time spending with you to let you go and just leave the house. Like last night, you know, like Benny doesn't like to go to certain things, like, you know, like my horror conventions or festivals or things like that, where there's a lot of people, no Disneyland, like nothing like that.
Not Scary Farm, yes, but no Disneyland.
Not Scary Farm, yes. Disneyland, no. But, you know, it's hard to find somebody that will like be like, baby, go and have an amazing time, and then just be so happy that you had a great time and be like, oh, what'd you buy? And just be so supportive. And, you know, if I can't come over for a weekend because I got to tend to stuff at home, he's just so like, so that's like the, of all the list of worries that I have, he's not on any of my worries where I'm like, fuck, he's going to get mad or he's going to get upset. And that's the best thing is sometimes you just need that partner, that one person. And spirituality is not just God. Spirituality is your friends, is your partner, is your mom, your kids, it's your world. And my world 100%. Is very positive. I've managed to cut out all the negativity that's been keeping me down. And I'm very lucky, very lucky.
Well,
I love you.
He's very lucky too. And that was beautiful. Thank you for being so vulnerable and gorgeous.
Thank you.
And just, I think it's lovely for our listeners and viewers to watch and experiences. But yes, partnership and having that communication and the understanding. It's almost like having a partner that accepts your weirdness and your quirkiness and your flaws and all, and doesn't change you or try to change you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel we both have partners like that, that have said, yeah, you do you. Like, you want to do that? You want to do this? Sure. Like, go. Absolutely. You know,
Johnny's the best. I love him.
Yes. I'm so grateful. Yeah, no, I write about him in my book as well. Has he read it? No, but he's in the book. He's chapter 7, El Corazón, and which means my heart. And yeah, he's the first partner to have said, it's okay for you to be feminine. It's okay for you to be masculine. It's okay for you to be you. Just, I want you to just be happy. Yeah. And I've never had a partner that would, and which I know you can relate to as well, that just lets you be free and authentic and loves you free. Yeah. Whatever you're going to do, even if it's crazy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So worse, but also we're good people. We manifested that too.
We did.
Emphasis on the M-A-N.
Yeah. Yep.
And yeah, no, and I'm so grateful for the friendship and the circle, the people that I do have, and you're in that and will always be in that.
Always.
I have my favorite part of the show. It's called Wrapping Up Mindful Artist Rapid Cues. And okay. So you don't have to think about this too hard. Just
okay.
If I ask you a question, just answer it and we'll start now. Question number one.
Okay.
Who is your hero and why?
My mom. Because my mom has been through some crazy traumatic things in her life. And not one day has gone by where she doesn't have a smile on her face. And then she tries to make other people happy. And if she can put a smile on your face, it puts a smile on her face. If she only has $5 in her pocket, she'll be the first one to give it all to you and not even think twice about it.
Mary is beautiful. And
she's so beautiful.
Light and has just this amazing energy, and always, you're right, always with a smile on her face, always so happy. I mean, you're a replica of her in a sense. Like, you guys are,
I'm always a mini Mary.
You really are. You're a mini Mary. So grateful for her. Question number two, favorite music album of all time and why?
Oh,
I know this is a tough one for people.
Damn, that's a tough one.
Right now, mine is Romy, Midair, but it's usually Madonna. But yeah, it depends on my mood. I'm a Capricorn, you know.
A favorite music album of all time, of any album.
I mean, you're picking it up. The CD, you want to back in the Molly, baby Molly days, she puts it on, and you know that album from beginning to end is going to get you going. Like, it's just, whether it's for tears or for laughter and joy or for just rocking out.
You know, I mean, it's crazy. So when I was a kid, obviously, I mean, it's probably the reason why we connected so much in the first place. When I was a kid, Madonna, Like a Virgin was my favorite album. I listened to that thing every day when I was a kid, like like from beginning to end. And I was like obsessed with her. Like, I used to wear like the bracelet all up to here. Now I've tried to more into like the metal, like the Deftones and Avenged and like that. But when she was a very, very huge part of my childhood, extremely huge. Like, I was my favorite artist growing up. Huge.
Yeah. I mean, I get it and I relate. I'm the proud owner of 4 Madonna tattoos on my body, and I've seen every tour. So, question number three, your favorite quote.
My favorite quotes.
Maybe that somebody told you or that you discovered on your own. Your favorite quote of all time.
That's got a lot of room, man.
Keep on living. That's actually a very good quote. That's your favorite quote, though.
What, Benny can share it. What is it? What's Benny's favorite?
Come
in, Benny. Come in, Benny. Show us that beautiful mug. Let's see that sexy man. Benihana, ladies and gentlemen. All right. There we go. The cameo, the debut. What's your favorite quote, man?
Huh?
What's your favorite quote?
Oh, so you know from Dazed and Confused?
Yeah.
Yeah, life's got a lot of rules, man. You just got to keep on living.
That's Joe, true.
Joe Dirt is like, life's a garden, dig it.
Literally. Literally. Mm-hmm. I love that.
My question three.
I mean, I said he was going to be getting this somehow, so he's in it. I love it.
He helped me with the question.
So did you, and Benny, since you're here now, did you like the exercise, the five-year goal thing? And have you shared that with Molly?
No, I
we haven't shared our answers with each other.
And you know what? After I thought about it, my answers all changed anyhow. I was just so freaking tired yesterday after work, you know? But
Valid.
Yeah, now that I thought about it for a day, they kind of changed up.
That's okay. This is probably why I wanted to have a conversation about it. Yeah. So you can go home. Well, you are home. So you can go back and rewrite your fives so you can verbally say it and then discuss that with one another and see how you can help each other during that process. Yeah. Manifest that. I love you guys.
It's from Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. It's I too am made up of many flaws stitched together.
Yes. And you have stitches as some of your neck ink work. I'm thinking of doing this, but I don't know yet. I haven't done anything on the neck. We'll see.
Yeah.
But repeat that quote again so we can hear it one more time.
So it's Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. It's I too am made up of many flaws stitched together with good intentions.
I love it. Are you a fan of Nightmare Before Christmas or no?
Huge. So it's all tattooed all over my arm.
Like, why did I ask that? I'm like, am I not your friend? Like, what's wrong with me? I'm fascinated with the fascination that my people, like Mexicans in general, are obsessed with Nightmare Before Christmas. Yes. But like, there's a whole documentary about it too. And the correlation of it is because of Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. It's like they're celebrating that, and it's beauty, and it's like, and they're obsessed with it being the entire end of the year.
Yeah.
But for you, it'd be August through December, basically.
January, December.
There you go. I should have known that. Yeah.
Halloween is every day, my friend.
Every day. I love it. And so where can our followers and listeners and viewers find you on the socials and all that kind of stuff? And do you have anything that you want to plug? Any things that you want to share about projects up and coming that we can support you through that journey?
So you can find me on Instagram. I don't have any other like socials or anything like that, but Instagram is Aunty Tattoo, and it's AUNTY and then tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
A name on there. This is Molly Mayhem. You can also see me and Benny as Cleopatra and the Mummy in Kat Von D's video called Vampire Love. It's a beautiful video. And I have some clothing shoots coming up with Rock Rebel and Creepsville 6. And let's see, besides that, I'll, on the link on my Instagram page, will link you to all the music videos I've been in. So
very cool. The link tree.
There, but Auntie otherwise, Tattoo. Right here on Benny's couch. You can find me here.
Yeah. I love Benny's couch. I still haven't been there, but I'm down to get in there. I love it. You guys, thank you so much. This was so fun. I feel like we should do this all the time. And every episode.
Yeah.
Everybody listening, thank you so much for being with us here today. Don't forget to go on and subscribe. Follow us at Mindful Artist Podcast on Instagram. And make sure that you leave us a review, some stars, so that way others that are like-minded like yourself can have a chance and opportunity to take a listen to this amazing journey of mine, because this is my first time doing a podcast. I'm having a lot of fun. I'm talking to my favorite people. Yes. And again, that song that you just That song that you're about to hear, the outro, is my song Mi Corazón, produced by Aaron McLendon, that you can also stream wherever you stream your favorite music. So go out there, make an impact to somebody's life. Thank you so much for being here with us today. Much love and light to you all. And till the next episode, I'll see you guys later. Say bye, guys.
Thank you.
So proud of you.
Mwah.
Mwah.